Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sickle, and we're Sickle and Everett. We're the Unhallowed Reviewers. I'm going to let Everett take over. I think he's got this more worked out than I do this week.
Like, let me take over the entire podcast by myself?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, I'm going to take a nap.
Well, it's just Everett today. It's just Everett. Do you want to talk about the real-life horror thing?
I guess we could. I mean, it's only going to be, like, 30 seconds.
Well, you might scare people.
It was just something that I happened to notice.
So one of the segments that we did a while ago is, like, real-life horror, where Sickle reads something on Reddit about... You know, like, I think the last one was about a family that just straight up disappeared, and they found their bodies somewhere, and it was creepy.
Yeah. And this one, not near as scary, but it's, you know, some people don't like it. You know, the worst things that can happen in a horror movie is something happens to a kid or something happens to a pet. In this case, it was a kid, but really not that horrific. There was a baseball game between the Cubs and the Astros a while ago. And this, like, four-year-old got hit with a foul ball. It got really scary. Like, some people thought the kid died, and, like, it was pretty nasty. The kid ended up being okay. But I was curious, like, after it happened, like, how many fans are injured a year, like, in baseball games? Because, you know, there's quite a few games a year. And I thought, you know, it would be a pretty astronomical number is, like, 200. Like, that'd be a crazy number.
Like, 200 people who go to a game and are, like, having a good time, drinking beer, eating peanuts, whatever people do at baseball games, and then all of a sudden, wham, hit in the face of the baseball, traveling at ungodly speeds.
Yes, and I thought 200, pretty bad number. It turns out it's 1,750 fans a year.
Oh, my God.
Are hit by foul balls.
Why do people keep going to baseball games?
I don't know.
I guess it's less than you die in a car or something.
I did find out that there was a slight, like, little side note to that number. It does also include fans that, like, tried to catch a foul ball and got hit, like, hurt their hand.
Oh, okay.
So it does include those people. But still, ridiculously high number. I thought.
Well, I mean, if you were thinking 200 and it's like, what, 8 times as big as that, that's pretty intense.
Whoa, that's a lot of math, Everett. Yeah. Let's keep it out of here.
Well, 9 times 8 is 20,000.
Whoa, too much math already.
By hell is
whoa! Oh my gosh, that was so rough on me.
All right, so
that was so hard.
I don't want to keep talking about this topic, not the one you're talking about, but this Black Christmas topic. Black Christmas is a movie that we talked about on the last podcast, and from all we could tell, looking at stuff last time, the only reason I think it got remade the second time was because the cast was there. Like, a pretty solid cast of horror, like, girls was in it, right? And this time, we really didn't understand why they were remaking it, necessarily. And then all of a sudden, and we've been talking about Saw a lot lately with Denver Pop Culture Con and things like that, Cary Elwes is, like, joining Black Christmas cast as a main character. And nobody really knows what the hell that means. But now Cary Elwes is in Black Christmas, so apparently, like, I'm going to have to see it for real.
Well, main character could very well be, like, he's just going to Wes Craven us and just, like, get killed in the first 2 minutes, like Drew Barrymore.
You mean Godzilla us?
What?
Like, the guy, Breaking Bad dude, got killed in the beginning of Godzilla.
Yes. Well, I was going Cranston. A more horror route with Drew Barrymore and Scream, but yes, you can go Bryan Cranston route in Godzilla.
So yeah. I don't know. That kind of... I don't know. He's not in enough horror that I wouldn't... He's not in enough horror, A, and that makes me kind of want to see it, because if he's choosing to be in it, that must mean he liked something about it, or owed someone a favor. I don't really know.
I mean, that's kind of the way that a lot of people felt, me included, when he was in Saw too, because, like, that was a pretty low budget film when it was made. So you're like, whoa, what's Cary Elwes doing in this movie? But then you realize that he isn't insane and down on his luck, and he's doing just fine, and he just wanted to be a part of an awesome movie.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that's the case, and not, like, he owed some dude a favor and had to be in the remake of Black Christmas. He, like, bet a dude that he wouldn't, you know.
Yeah, he seemed like he was in good shape when he was at Comic-Con. Like, he wasn't, like, you know,
he didn't need
drunk
money.
And stumbling around and, like, looking for some kind of, like, hitman in the audience or something.
Yeah, so, I don't know. That's cool to me. I actually do know. I'm going to stop saying I don't know. I do know. I want to see Black Christmas now, just because that announcement. Hopefully there's more cool announcements, but... See,
just putting your foot down.
I know. So hype is a big thing that we talk about on this podcast, because hype tends to either drive us towards, away, or into sad, lonely caves after we watch movies. And the hype trains run real hard on Midsommar. Another trailer came out today, or another like movie clip. There's already been two other trailers that have come out, the original one and the second one. And early things are coming out about it, saying that it's really good, it revolutionizes horror. Anything else you read that you want to add to that list of crazy praise?
What was it? Masterpiece was tossed around?
Yeah, Jordan Peele said he saw it and said a bunch of crazy cool stuff about it.
Yeah, and yeah, it's getting like all this crazy publicity from all of these people that, you know, are respected around the industry. I did finally hear a little tinge of bad coming out of a certain place that said that it was, that, you know, quote-unquote, I didn't read the review, just the headline, mixed bag. And that was the first slightly negative of anything I had heard about the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, like, I don't know why, but it just kind of got me cooking, because this particular... review location website is known for
it.
Is bloody disgusting. Is known for like they like like the crazy good horror. Like they like horror. Like they want the violence and the gore and the scares, and they want that. Like that's what they want from their movies. And it's not that they can't appreciate like a good story too. But I've seen them review plenty of movies and give them high ratings just because it was, you know, a mindless popcorn gore fest. So, like, to see them kind of be like, it's a mixed bag, makes me feel like it was boring. Like, that's basically what I'm reading out of that. And I'm jumping on that from no context. I have no context for it. But it just the way that their headline read, I believe they said it was, like, emotionally... draining or exhausting, something along those lines.
That's perfect. That's how Hereditary was.
Well, it reminds me a lot of Hereditary, and I gotta be honest. I started thinking about it. I loved Hereditary. I thought it was a great horror film, and it comes at you and attacks you in a different way than horror films traditionally do.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, other than like a couple scenes there towards the end, it wasn't scary.
No,
it's not a scary movie. It's not traditional horror in that sense.
Yeah.
But it is horror, but it's not traditionally.
Maybe that's like Ari Aster's style is just like to do this kind of crazy new take on horror where his journey is the horrific experience instead of jump scares and 1 minute payoff things, you know?
For sure. And I just think that it's super important that to look at this hype through an art house lens. Of like, this is art house horror.
You think Hereditary is art house horror?
Yes.
I don't as much, and I feel like that should spawn its own conversation because like that to me, Hereditary had enough in it where it wasn't. I'm not gonna keep going to the same thing that we are talking about now. So let's just jump into the other part of this topic. Is that like when you say that? I think the things we have a have and have not list. So we're basically talking about what we've gotten burned on from hype, right? We're worried about Midsommar because some movies we've gotten burned about from an art house perspective on hype, right? And or from got burned up on hype and they turned out to be more art housey or stylistic than actually horror. And the movie that, you know, Ifrit, me, doesn't really like is It Follows. I think it's trash, and I think that it's not very good, and having watched it a second time, it's just kind of meh, and it doesn't really do anything for me. And so, like, that movie had a ton of hype, and it ended up disappointing me a lot. And the reason I think that movie's art-housey is because the way the story is told, and the way that things in the movie are happening tend to be more like a psychological kind of, like, weird, I don't know, movie. I wouldn't even want to say thriller. It just has weird shit in it. Like, oh, that lady's got a weird phone, and one of them is, like, a weirdo and does strange things, and they're in Detroit, but, like, not Detroit, and it's summer, but it's winter, and it's like, why do we need all this shit? Just tell me a story. Like, you know? And I didn't really get that from Hereditary.
No, Hereditary doesn't employ a lot of that similar, those similar tactics. It's a much more complex story.
Hereditary?
You care a lot.
Or if it
falls. Oh, yes. Hmm. Oh, Hereditary. Hereditary is a much more complex story in its characters.
But I didn't think it was confusing, and I guess I'm getting complex, confusing, confused.
No, no, no. There's a difference between complex and... Yeah, there's a difference between complexity and confusion and like being confusing. It wasn't confusing. I'm saying complex is a compliment.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
What I was saying is that It Follows is a much simpler plot. It's got a very simple structure and it follows it through. And I do appreciate it more than you do, but it's not anywhere close to the same approach or level of Hereditary. In its storytelling and its character development.
You'd say that you were disappointed walking out of the theater from It Follows. Like, I thought we both agreed that watching it on Netflix would have been a better option.
I found that, like, I appreciate a lot of what he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. His, like, little Hitchcockian
Whoa, you can't say that on this podcast.
I'm sorry. I mean, Hitch... Boop! Ian... tendencies and nuances, I've come to appreciate it more, but it definitely wasn't as impactful as everybody's making it out to be, I don't think.
Well, one of the movies that you thought that happened a lot for was The Witch.
I thought it was, man, this is so harsh, but I just thought it was really pretentious. I just thought it was very full of itself. I respect the crap out of it for what it undertook, like actually pulling most of its script from the journals of this family that actually did what they did. Like, that's so crazy and cool, but I just feel like it didn't take it as far as it should have to me. It was too subtle and too nuanced to where I was way bored before the final act came around. That's the most superficial way I can come at it, and it makes me look like an idiot.
I'm willing to accept that. Because it's really kind of like a weird slow burn. It's like a slow burn that's not trying to be a slow burn. It's like trying to hide the fact that it's a slow burn, but not really. And the end is either think it's kind of cool and want to see where it goes, or you're like, what the hell did I just sit in this theater for? You know? I think is kind of the gist. You're like, that was it? Like,
yes. It really was. That's how I felt. Like, I really liked, what was it, Black Peter?
Black Philip.
Like, Black Philip, dang it. Was like his realizing, like, or like his his manifestation at the end. Mine started with a P. I was close. His manifestation at the end, like that scene was really cool. But was it enough was everything before it enough to get you there? Really?
I don't know.
It wasn't enough for me.
I'll tell you, I've never watched that movie again. So there's that.
There you go. I mean, and one of the things that I genuinely include in the ranking of any movie I watch, horror or not, is rewatchability. And if it's very... It doesn't matter how much I loved a movie and how much I respected it. If I have no interest in watching it again, it loses a couple points for me. That's just the way... I mean, that's just the way I look at
movies. What about Hereditary?
See, that one loses a point or two for me because it's such an emotionally draining and exhausting movie that it's difficult for me to want to watch it again.
I think I'd say the same about me and Terrifier, like, since I have, like, some weird Terrifier PTSD, apparently, and I just, like, I'm like, oh, I like that movie, but I don't want to watch it again, but I do, but I can't, but I want to, but I shouldn't.
That's the way I feel about Green Room. It's the same thing that you feel with Terrifier. Everybody's different with how they feel about movies. There are just certain things where, like, somebody can watch somebody's head get split in half and, like, just laugh and think it's the best thing ever or whatever. And then there's somebody like me, I can't handle certain types of suffering. And part of it depends on the acting. If the acting and the way that it's shot is really, really well done, it hits me in a different way. Mm-hmm. And like Green Room did that to me, and it's I'm sure that people would, plenty of people out there would be like, what, Green Room got to you? But you can laugh and like eat chili while watching, you know, Saw 3 or Human Centipede or something. And it's chili, like, yeah, that doesn't choice. Do anything to me. Yeah, I couldn't think of anything. Human Centipede is what I should have said first. but like, I don't know. But for whatever reason, I get where you're coming from with the Terrifier thing, where like Green Room, I think, was an amazing film, and it's so well made. But it's so well made, I don't want to watch. I don't want to go through that again.
And that's what's making me hesitant on ever watching it, is that it's that intense, and that's just not my jam. But let's kind of hop back. So I'm still stoked for Midsommar.
Me too.
And I think another movie that's kind of coming out but already came out that we reviewed at Telluride last year is called The Headhunter, and a similar, if not the same, site was hyping that up too. And I think we have differing views on that as well. I think Headhunter was like good, but I'm able to, I don't know, it was slow at first, but then it gets really good at the end, I think. But
yeah, I think the ending is great. It's just very repetitive for the first like 45 minutes.
Yeah, and so like that movie, I think, for me, lived up to the hype, but for a sequel, would not have lived up to the hype.
Oh, I have to say this one for our own therapy's sake. It just popped into my head. I think probably the worst one, biggest disappointment for the hype for both of us, where we both can agree, was It Comes at Night.
Oh my god.
Gotta bring
totally
that one
blocked
up.
That movie out. Like,
right?
I think I and saw I it on Amazon it the other day, and I was like, nope.
I wanted it to be good so bad. And there's times where like I saw it on like I saw the same thing. I saw it on Amazon and I was going, "Oh, I kind of want to watch it. Maybe it's not as bad as I remember. Maybe it's there's something I missed. Maybe there's like, you know, maybe I passed out and made up the second half of the movie." Like, I was so scared I passed out, and then like my mind was like, "I'm going to make up something boring so you don't traumatize yourself. Like, there's got to be something that makes this movie amazing." It's just bad.
So yeah, It Comes at Night. That one was a disappointment for both of us, but the hype was there. That's the hype train.
Oh, the hype was there.
But let's move on to our final topic today. So, since we're not going to talk about art house, which we could, I think, in light of the fact that we've kind of been talking about Crawl and Boar a lot, we should talk about creature features in monster movies since Godzilla came out, and Crawl and Boar and all these movies are here. The Crawl trailer is recent, but not too recent because it's a little older, but basically they show everything that's happening in that movie. So if you haven't checked out the Crawl trailer, go do that, because it actually looks pretty cool. But Boar actually just came out on Shudder, right? And so we have both now watched Boar, and this is interesting to me. So I put together a list of monster movies versus creature features, right? And I've done a little bit of demonic research and what I can. Using the hell on the internet is not as reliable, but I was looking up what the difference between creature features and monster movies are, and I think the most definitive thing I've seen is just basically using the definition of a creature versus a monster, right? Where a creature is a thing created or animated, and a monster is a thing that's, like, dangerous or terrifying. So, like, if you're talking about a monster movie would tend to, and this is going to, you're going to hate this, I think, it's going to tend to be something, in my opinion, that is already real, that's horrifying. So examples being like, for me as a little demon kid, Jumanji was freaking terrifying to me because Jumanji had a bunch of things that were normally in the world, but they were like the crazy scary versions. Or Jaws, Rogue,
oh my
those
gosh.
Things are to me monstrous because they're normal things that exist that are dangerous or terrifying in their own right. Now, when we talk about things that are, and this is, again, this is Ifrit's take on this, and creature features are like things like Troll Hunter, Rake, The Thing, Cloverfield, like Jeepers Creepers, The Descent, and then there's a few in here that I'm not sure about, like Jurassic Park and Reign of Fire, I technically considered creature features because, I mean, dinosaurs were real, but they're not real now, and dragons aren't real, so I'm not really sure where those lie, but things like that are things that I consider creature features based off of the definition I've made up today. So, comments,
you're right.
Thoughts?
Yeah, we definitely disagree. I'm basically the exact opposite of you. I consider creature features to be any animal based in reality that could seemingly exist, even if it's slightly deformed or mutated in some capacity to an extent.
Yeah.
So I consider Boar a creature feature. I consider Rogue a creature feature. Any of those. This is not, and I am willing to admit that this is not the traditional way of looking at it, because, I mean, for example, there is a movie called Creature, and it's a ripoff of Alien. So it's considering that a creature feature, and it's based on an alien, and that doesn't follow my definition of creature.
Yeah,
creature.
And that's
so,
kind of why, the only, again, I came up with this based off the fact that the old creature feature thing has to do with, like, Godzilla, and has to do with things like Frankenstein and like the black creature from the Black Lagoon. And so, like, I kind of put creature features into the realm of, like, a little bit too far outside of reality, or in terms of, like, things that aren't based on, like, so you could do things like The Cave and The Descent, maybe, like, the mix between, but I have three of that, I think, I want to talk about after we're done, that, like, we have to categorize, because I'm not really sure where these three lie. But I even went as far as putting things like Evil Dead in the creature feature section for me, because there's some crazy stuff in that movie that just isn't real, but it's really creepy and gross. And then a lot of werewolf movies came up, like Werewolf in London and Cursed. Those things are creature features to me, because while wolves and humans are real, werewolves tend to be more of like a made up thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, so my what I follow is that creature features are based in reality. Monster movies are all the ones that are not.
Okay.
I don't generally follow that, or I mean, like, there's still things that are in the gray area for me in between. I think in general, I do want to say that what I think the general definition of creature feature and monster movie is, outside of what me and you think, is that it's really based on size, from what I can tell.
I've
it's size of whatever it is.
Them be used interchangeably. On let's look. So the monster. If I go monster movie on Wikipedia, it says a monster movie, comma creature feature, or giant monster film is a disaster film that focuses on a group of characters struggling to survive an attack by one or more antagonistic but oftenly abnormal large monsters. So like, I think we are having this discussion, and I like it, but like, I wonder if nobody cares. So they have been used interchangeably. But that's interesting. So you're saying that the bigger the creature slash monster, since we're having a discussion about it,
yeah,
is that shifts it into one or the other.
Well, I think that's what the public generally, like, whenever I've read up on anything in regards to that, like, if it's a certain size, it'll be referred to as a creature feature, and then as soon as it passes a certain size, you'll see them refer to it as a monster instead of a creature. Like,
That movie Monster.
I would imagine
with,
that the general public.
What's her name? It's got Anne Hathaway, where she's controlling the monster in Japan or Korea, all the way across.
Colossal.
Sorry, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
So that would be a monster.
Yeah.
Because it's past a certain height.
According to the definition of size and things like that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There gets into this gray area. So like, The Relic would be an example of a movie where there's. Is that a creature? Is that a monster? Because it's like right in between where that kind of cutoff sizes.
That was almost one of those three that made me question, you know, like, what is what? Because that movie is like just solid mix of both.
Yes. Because it tries its best to like base it in some level of like science, even though it's definitely fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, it's a certain combination of animals. Could something like this possibly exist if that virus were to exist? I don't know. By the way, if anybody hasn't seen that movie, it's an awesome monster cheese fest.
Which one?
From like 96. The Relic.
Oh, okay. And so that's funny that you bring up movies from that old, because I was thinking of Deep Rising, and I was like, does Deep Rising fall into monster movie, or is it a creature feature? And I put it in monster movie, because...
Me too.
Because to me, Deep Rising is based in a reality where, like, just there's just giant shit that lives under the ocean, and that's something that I believe is true. So...
Yeah, and I would put it into monster movie as well, but because I think it's not real, but I think it's... But I do appreciate the... It's the direction they take it. It's clearly this giant mythical beast to me, but I do appreciate the referencing to, like, hey, anything could be down there.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because I was going to make a comment on Boar, because Boar, and we can talk about Boar for a second in the middle of this, because Boar is actually, I think it was a really cool movie. Like, they kind of don't pull their punches a lot. Like, what movie did I watch the other day where they, like, kill almost everybody and there's, like, nobody left at the end? I can't remember, but...
almost every horror movie ever.
But, like, this movie doesn't pull its punches at all. Up until, like, but there's some weird stuff that happens at the end, and I think I understand where you're talking about with that last 5% or whatever, but, I guess we can just talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, it's really cool, and everybody dies, basically, and then they bring a bunch of characters back who survived miraculously, and I was like, oh, well, I mean, you didn't need to do that, but okay. I guess they'll be in the sequel.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't make any sense. There's... That part bothered me. It's like, just let them die. It's fine.
Yeah.
I did not... I pretty much... It feels like I just tore this film a new one in my review earlier this week. But I found that I think the reason I was so passionate about what it did wrong was because I liked it so much. Mm-hmm. I thought that the work that they did with the practical effects was great. I thought... that I had a lot of fun listening to just, like, the Aussies, like, sarcastic banter between each other. Like, I thought that was awesome. Like, the two old men just, like, grumpily arguing with each other every 5 seconds was hilarious to me. And I really enjoyed all of that. I thought that... I just really think that the director held the film back. I think the cinematography was weak.
I did for, like, 90% of it. Effects for the boar. I understood the... I understood why they had to do some things certain ways because of the way that the prop they built worked, you know?
Well, they just should not have shot it, to be honest. That's the problem I had with it. I did not like the continuous camera shots of the full body. Like, it was so clearly just a, like, box with fur on it and then this really well-done puppetry animatronic head.
Have you ever like, seen a boar? They basically do just look like boxes with fur on them.
Well, I just didn't like the stiffness of it. You could tell that thing didn't have any motion to it.
Yeah.
Because he would just sit on that angle, or he would sit on the shot far too long. And if he had just only shown glimpses of it at full body, shown a few glimpses of it coming in, like moving at full speed with CG, and then had everything else close-up shots of that awesome head... that he built?
See, I disagree. I think I liked it, even though it was kind of stupid. Like, some of the parts I liked that I thought they were, like the dude who fights the boar with a knife, I thought that scene was kind of cool. Like, that whole scene was...
Yeah, but that scene's pretty well done, though.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that scene doesn't show a lot of the body. It doesn't show a lot of it being stiff for the most part. There's a couple of shots, but, like, I could have lived with that scene being the only scene. I think I'm more thinking of the part where the dad... and the son-in-law, heading that direction at least, were walking in the grasslands. They come around the corner and it's just standing there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't... It looks like something behind the glass at the natural history.
That's what I thought, too. Like, I thought it was like a boar in its natural habitat. And you're, and you're like, okay, so it's not going to attack... Oh, no, it's attacking them. Okay.
That scene bothered me. It kind of took me out of the movie for a second. And I just didn't like that approach to it. I feel like... there was just some pretty weak camera work, and it hurt overall a really awesome movie that I thought it was so much fun to have, that they had John Jarrett in it, who's like the staple of Australian horror, being in it, and then Nathan Jones, who has never had a role with more than two lines in it.
Didn't he play the one of the guys in that Kane movie, like See No Evil? Wasn't he that guy?
I don't know if he was in that or not.
He's a professional wrestler, right?
He was, okay, yes. Okay. And, like, the movies that I recall him being in are, like, Fearless with Jet Li. He's, like, the American wrestler that he fights. He has, like, two lines. And then, like, in The Protector, I think it was, one of the Ong Bak movies, or Ong Bak-style movies with, like, Tony Jaa.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the bad guys in that. And he has, like, one to no lines. So, like, it was really cool to see him, like, actually have a role with lines, and... he did just fine, and it was a lot of fun.
I agree. So I think you should watch Boar if you have a subscription to Shudder, because it's not going to cost you anything that you're not already paying, and it's decent.
And it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I think it's cool. They do a lot of interesting stuff. Lots of cool kills, by the way. I thought that was sweet. Like, a lot of the kills they did were, like, really good. But I have four questions for you. I'm going to give you four movies, and we have to figure out where they land in this monster movie versus creature feature thing, right? The first one's easy. Godzilla.
King monster.
Of Monsters. Okay, so you think that's a monster?
Oh, yes.
I I couldn't decide, because it doesn't feel right as a creature feature, but I'm not sure Godzilla is, like, based in reality. But I think I'm going to do Monster Movie, because I put Kong Skull Island in Monster Movie. So, alright, the second one, so we both agree Monster Movie for Godzilla.
Yes.
Alright, the second one is The Fly. Now, The Fly, I kind of got, in my definition, got confused with, because The Fly has some pretty crazy stuff in it, right? And I'm not sure if that's based in, like, a reality or not, but based on your definition, it's clearly a creature feature, right?
No, because it doesn't fall in the category of being a real creature.
But it's just a fly.
A real animal.
But, like, it is literally just a fly man.
But it's mutating with a man. So it becomes, like, this monster.
Where do you put werewolf movies, forms then?
Monster.
Okay, so you put the fly in Monster Movie. I'm going to put flying creature feature. Because
that one's a tough one for me because
agreed. That's why I tried to pick these ones because they were hard. All right, this one's probably not as hard, but this one goes.
It's just that if I'm following the rules of how I'm doing it, I should put it in Monster.
Okay,
that's where it should go.
So this one's interesting to me because it's kind of on the threshold of what our definitions are, and it's one that you wouldn't think of. So eight-legged freaks. So for me, eight-legged freaks is a monster movie because
creature feature.
See, for me, it's like based in reality. It's based off spiders, and it's nothing crazy. And so you put
it... Oh, see, and that's my definition of creature feature, so it goes in a creature feature.
But it's not big enough yet for you to become a monster movie, Eight-Legged Freaks.
Oh, no, that's the way I see how the public sees that. So I guess we could also say which one we think the public would think.
So for Godzilla,
I think
monster movie.
Creature feature. They would think, Godzilla monster movie.
The fly,
I don't know.
I think creature feature still. Because it reminds me of the whole Black Lagoon and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Eight-legged freaks, monster movie.
I think they would say creature feature.
You think so?
I think spiders
are huge, dude.
Well, sometimes they get. I don't know, but it. But the style of the film too just feels like creature feature to me.
Okay.
It's not large scale, and I feel like monster is generally. All right,
last one is a weird one, and I don't even know if it'll fit in either of these two categories, but I'm gonna say it anyway.
Okay.
Pandorum. It's hard because a lot of the stuff in Pandorum is based in humans, right?
And they are human, technically.
But, like,
there are
some crazy monsters. I think creature feature.
Oh, man, that one's so hard.
It could be neither of these right now.
That's the thing exactly. Like, eventually there is a point where it's not an either or. It's not like all horror movies fit into one of these two categories.
According to IMDb, most of them do, which is where I got Pandorum from, and that's why I was like, I figured I should ask because I really don't think it fits in either. And if I have to pick one, it's creature.
Ah, man, if I had to pick one, I'd probably say creature too, okay. Even though that doesn't really follow my general idea of that. But they're definitely not monsters.
Yeah.
Or I don't
are they
think
because they're
it's just
scary.
That I would sooner put them out of it,
you know what?
And put it into like a subset of zombie.
Yeah, and so that's why I said it, because Pandorum actually came up on a list, like a IMDb top 100 creature feature list. And
crazy.
Interesting. And actually, I want to change mine to monster because I think there are people based in reality and they just turn into something terrifying. So anyway. I hope you guys had fun with that. I really like doing that, so we should probably try to do that again. I think we could do it with Art House versus not, so we should do that one.
Shoot, we could do it with Creature, Feature, and Monster again. This fight isn't over.
Round two! So thanks for listening. Like, comment, subscribe. Let us know what you think about the movies that we talked about for Creature, Features, and Monster movies. Let us know if you agree or disagree with the way we look at those things, and maybe we can have a cool dialogue.
Yeah.
Alright, see you next time.
See ya.